Any baseball fans here? Good. Are you even Astros fans? You know, we baseball fans, we're superstitious. Anybody superstitious when they go to the baseball game? You know, if I wear my lucky hat? God bless the Astros. I have run out of lucky shirts. You know? But isn't that what we do sometimes in our life? We wear our lucky shirt, or we rub the priest's head, or we want our lucky charms, don't we? We want our talisman. I remember when I went to jump school, I had to go to an Army jump school. For a Navy guy, that was really hard. And the kids always liked having me in the airplane with them when we were about to jump out. Chaplain, I'm so glad you're here. I know we're going to make it. I'm going, I don't know that. I'm terrified. We're going to jump out. I've got to try something. Isn't that like life, though? We want to rub the genie or lucky shirt. If I just, it'll get better. It's easy, perhaps, I don't know about you, when I read this gospel story, I'm a little irritated. I get a little irritated. The centurion, they go and convince Jesus, he's a good guy, really, he's a great guy. Save the servant. You ever prayed for somebody you love and it didn't happen? Heartache. Brokenness. If I just pray hard enough. In that, it's almost like this gospel jumps out at us and say, well, your life's probably all screwed up because you just don't have enough faith. It's easy to kind of get into that prosperity gospel with this thing, and it's really a slippery slope. It's a scary gospel. It's one that for me, all week has, well, actually for the last two or three, because I've been looking at this thinking, Todd leaves me with this? I got to do this? Last week it's the Trinity, and this week it's, Lord, I am worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. I grew up with that. Some of you who may remember my father, who was an Episcopal priest over in Spring Branch of St. Christopher, was what we call high church. In a diocese of low church. But I learned that. The Romans say it every Sunday before you receive Eucharist. Lord, I am unworthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. It's easy to get lost in this pericope and this gospel lesson and think, and go away, I don't know about you, go away discouraged. God, my faith must not be enough. God must not love me enough. I must not be lovable. It's easy to get away with that and get a little fearful, frustrated. I don't know about you, angry. Because there have been people I have loved very much who I have held as they died, railing at God and asking, why? Where are you in this? His name was Mark. It was Iraq. It was December 04. It was right during the Battle of Fallujah, November, December. I met this young Marine First Lieutenant. I met him as he brought his wounded Marines in to be cared for at the shock surgical. Or we'd fly out to him and I'd happen to be in the back end of the helicopter. And I got to know this kid. Big strapping Marine. A&M graduate. Went down to St. Mark's down in Fort Bend County. Grew up there. We got to know each other because I would sit with him as he waited to find out about his wounded Marines. Good kid. Man of faith. Heartbroken when he had to bring the wounded kids in. They were his Marines. They were my Marines. They were our Marines. Many of them were mortally wounded and some terribly wounded, and their lives would change forever. And he lived with this every day. because Fallujah was a bad place, a hard place, a heartbreaking place. It was after the battle. It was about the fourth Sunday of Advent. And I did when I was in the camp, when I wasn't flying around picking up wounded kids, I did three services at the camp. And one was a small Episcopal service. We started out with two. We grew to about 15. So I guess that's a pretty big Episcopal church. And no. And it was a great comfort for me to be there and celebrate the sacrament and be with them. It was that Sunday morning, and a friend of mine who was another chaplain said, "Hey, your Episcopal lieutenant's in the chow hall. I thought you'd want to know." So I grabbed a cup of coffee and I saw him. I said, "LT, how you doing?" He had the face of exhaustion. He was tired. He had finally gotten a little clean. I said, "Today's Sunday. I know you don't know that because you lose track of days. It's Sunday and I expect to see you in Mass. Don't make me call your mother." "Okay, Fatherhood, I'll be there." He came to Mass. He sat with us, weary, like many of you, nodding off in my sermon, which is appropriate. It's okay, you can laugh at that. It's all right. At the peace, we hugged each other, and some of my nurses were there, and he hugged them and thanked them. And when we sat back down, he raised his hand and said, "Father Hood, can I share something with the congregation?" Now, as a clergy person, the deacon and I know when someone wants to testify in an Episcopal church, you start to worry. Okay? Because But I thought, I'm a Navy commander. He's a first lieutenant. I can take care of this. This is not a problem. I can pull that out. He said, "Fatherhood, I promise that if I got out of the battle and when I came to the first worshiping community, that I would share what has sustained me during this time." He said, "What sustained me?" And some of you who have been in the military know we have a little green serviceman's prayer book. You ever seen it? It's a little serviceman's prayer book. Got the Episcopal serviceman's cross on it, and it's got all the prayers and hymns that are familiar to us, and it's very small, and you can put it in the top pocket or in your cargo pocket of your uniform utilities. He pulled it out and he said, "Every morning and every night, I prayed morning and evening prayer." When I was running down Michigan Avenue, which is one of the most treacherous sets of roads in Fallujah, I was terrified and I didn't know if I would make it. I didn't pray so much to be saved as just to know Christ's presence with me, in the midst of me. Here's the punchline. Are you ready? I gave up trying to manipulate God a long time ago and just want to know His presence is near in whatever I faced. He said, "When I was running up Michigan Avenue, I sang this hymn over and over and over again." And he started out and he sang, "Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my life." And he sang all the verses. It's easy to get lost in this pericope that we think if we just have enough faith or we just have enough, believe me, beloved, I will pray for you that you are healed, but I don't know what that looks like. But what I may pray more for is that the presence and the grace of God is present to you. That we have a faith of letting go of our expectations of what we expect or demand God to do. And as the Jubilate says, and thank y'all for saying that, it's one of my favorite pieces. that the Lord God is God. And oh yeah, the other punchline that's not in there is, and we're not. Maybe the faith, the real faith of the centurion is that he comes and he opens up and he says, this is what I need, but you're the Lord and I'm not. I hope my servant's healed. God, every day I prayed those Marines wouldn't die. But I had to trust in faith. And this is the hard thing of faith. This is the real hard, bash yourself up against this pericope issue. Is when things are desperate and they seem insurmountable and they seem hard, that we're called as a community to gather with each other and say, here I am. Here I am. To trust and hope and turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God in Christ Jesus. It is the harder thing of faith. But beloved, I truly and earnestly believe it is the real thing of faith. It is that thing that brings me to the altar every time and pulls out my hand and says, Lord, I am unworthy to receive you. I've got nothing to trade with you. But say the word and I shall be healed. I don't know what that healing looks like, Lord, but I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my soul. I trust you with my very being. Isn't that the real faith that sustains? Isn't that the real hope we come here for? Yeah, we come with our expectations. We come with our stuff. That's okay. We'll work it out. But beloved, my hope is that you come here today letting go of your expectations and opening yourself to the infinite, incredible, enormous possibility of what God has for us, both in life and even death. That is my hope. That is my trust. And beloved, I hope that is our faith. Amen.